convention were Nikki Haley and Donald Trump, Haley the clear target for her competitors on stage.
I love all the attention, fellas. Thank you for that.
From Chris Christie, the question for the others, is the missing man, Donald Trump, fit to be president?
You're not answering it.
Is he fit? You have your thing.
Is he fit or isn't he? No, I don't have my thing.
We don't.
He's the thing.
As for Vivek Ramaswamy's thing,
why am I the only person on the stage, at least, who can say that January 6th now does look like it was an inside job? That the 2020 election was indeed stolen by big tech?
Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
The 2020 election was not stolen. Trump attended a fundraiser in Florida during the debate. Three people have been shot and killed on the campus of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, terrifying students.
I don't know if I feel like crying or I feel like angry. I'm not too sure, but I'm just like really confused right now because we've never been in like a close quarter situation like this.
Another student.
Trying to learn to become leaders of tomorrow, and people are scared now because every time you step on a college campus, there's shootings every single year now, and it's just getting scarier and scarier.
Two law enforcement sources tell CBS News the shooter was a white man in his 60s and was a college professor who had taught previously in Georgia and North Carolina. Israeli leaders are getting tough criticism about their efforts to free hostages being held by Hamas. CBS's Chris Livesay has that from Jerusalem.
The rage of freed hostages is boiling over in leaked audio of a meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. One woman is heard complaining of the feeling that no one was doing anything for us. I was in a hiding place that was shelled, and an Israeli helicopter shot at us on the way to Gaza.
Oregon's Democratic Senator Ron Wyden says the U.S. and foreign governments have quietly been using push notifications from both Apple and Google to surveil people. Reaction from CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur.
If the U.S. or a foreign government is able to use its various laws to force Apple and Google to give it access to these push notifications, it means data that's included as a preview, for example, of an email or a text message could be read by the government, along with other details shared in that notification.
Iowa basketball star Caitlin Clark has become the first Hawkeye to surpass 3,000 career points. She's now the only player ever with 3,000-plus points and 750-plus rebounds. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Wednesday happier, happy hour breaking news edition. And Dom, we got one of the newsbreakers joining us right now live via stream. He is Jeff Mandel. He is with Forward Law. Law Forward, my bad. Jeff, welcome back. The returning champ. You're a highly regarded man around here today, sir.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's very kind. It's great to be back.
Jeff, let's start with the reporting at the Washington Post. I had heard earlier interviews. I've certainly read the reporting of Patrick Marley. First and foremost, does this reporting have it right to your opinion, sir? A, the false electors have effectively made a civil settlement, the 10 false electors here in the state of Wisconsin. So, you know, tell the story, Jeff. How much of the Washington Post gets it right, and do you have any distinctions to draw?
No, I think the Post has the story exactly right. And Patrick has really been on this story from the beginning. He was in the Capitol on December 14th, 2020, looking to see where these folks were. And he has been interested in our efforts to find out what happened and hold those who tried to steal the election in Wisconsin accountable from the beginning. And as you say, today's news is that we have settled our civil case against the 10 fraudulent electors in Wisconsin. Keep in mind, this is not only the first, but really the only civil case of its kind in the whole country, seeking accountability against these folks who, again, disregarded the will of the people. And we don't care that 3.3 million people in Wisconsin voted and Joe Biden won, but the 10 of us, we know better, and we're going to say that Donald Trump won the state of Wisconsin and should be advanced toward becoming the president based on that. And so today's, when we filed, let me step back. When we filed this case a year and a half ago, it was a really novel approach. And what we were trying to accomplish was two things. We wanted transparency so that the people of Wisconsin would be able to understand exactly what had unfolded with this scheme here in Wisconsin. And we wanted accountability to make sure it could never happen again. And we entered this settlement that was announced today because we accomplished both of those things. We released almost 600 pages of materials, many of which were new, into the public so that people can understand exactly who was involved and how this scheme came into being. And we got these 10 folk promised that they will not be presidential electors in 2024. They will never again be presidential electors in an election where Donald Trump is participating. And if any of them is ever a presidential elector again, they won't engage in this kind of scheme to thwart the will of the voters and give Wisconsin's electorates to someone who didn't win the state election.
Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. Jeff, this was a settlement with the 10 fake faults. Some would call them worse than that, but let's spare you for right now, Trump electors here in the state of Wisconsin. But this does not release all these civil defendants from this case. And in fact, we have seen it reported that Jim Troupas, who was an attorney for Donald Trump through the recount and various actions, and Kenneth Cheesebro, who has been named and pled guilty in the Fulton County, Georgia, they are still defendants in what is now an ongoing civil suit against just two defendants. Do I have that part right, Jeff?
You have that part correct as well. So we brought this case with a number of claims, including the idea of a civil conspiracy to violate election law. And we were able to settle with the 10 fraudulent defendants today because we were able to accomplish those goals we set out of disclosure and accountability. We haven't yet reached a settlement or been able to accomplish those goals with the other defendants. And so the case goes on. If we're able to accomplish our goals, then we will, this isn't about vengeance. It's not about punishing or embarrassing anyone. It's making sure that the people of Wisconsin fully understand what happened and that we take steps to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Jeff, certainly appreciate the efforts, and anytime we can shine a light and get, you know, some background as to what went on and how it went down, that's a worthy effort. No monetary settlement in this part, Jeff. And honestly, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that's great. But I mean, what is the value of them saying, and how important is it for them to retract the actual documents that said Trump was the president?
Well, I think it is actually important, Dom. In terms of the monetary settlement, as I said, this was never about vengeance. This was never about a pound of flesh. This was about making sure that our elections in Wisconsin function as our framers and as intended and as our democracy needs them to, and that nobody can thwart the will of voters. So that was what we aimed for, and that is what we've hit. The money piece really is, in my view, irrelevant. But to your question of how important is it they retract the fraudulent documents they submitted, I think that it has real value. These are historic documents. They will be part of the archives. And what we got today is these 10 fraudulent electors saying a number of things that I think are really important. Number one, Joe Biden won the 2020 election in Wisconsin. Number two, you'll see in the discovery documents that we released, they admitted that they never were told and never believed that Donald Trump had won the 2020 election in Wisconsin, notwithstanding the fact that each of the 10 people signed documents that they sent to various state and federal officials, including the Congress of the United States, that said, we are the duly elected presidential electors for the state of Wisconsin, and we certify that Donald Trump won the election in the state of Wisconsin. And so those documents, even the fraudulent ones they submitted, are now part of the historical record. And by putting forward this acknowledgement today and agreeing to send this acknowledgement to every state and federal official who they had previously sent these fraudulent papers to, what we make sure is that historical record is complete, and that any time, whether it's now or whether it's 100 years from now, someone is trying to figure out what happened and they get their hands on those fake papers that say that Donald Trump won Wisconsin, they will also get this piece of paper that says, actually, that's not true, and we said that, and it's wrong, and nobody should rely on that.
Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocate, Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. One other question in this regard, as the reporting from Patrick Marley states that the false electors said they would assist the Department of Justice in their investigation and help Biden electors and other lawsuits against Troopers and Cheesebro. Jeff, from your perspective, obviously, Josh Call has not yet investigated or publicly admitted to that. If they're under investigation, if something comes down that they now become under investigation in the state of Wisconsin, because this is basically an admission of what they did, if there's some criminality there, how would that impact their cooperation with the Department of Justice?
Well, it was important to us because we did settle and there wasn't going to be a public trial where these folks would have to testify and everyone could see it. It was important to us that we made sure we were not doing anything that would hamstring other accountability efforts in Washington or elsewhere. And so it is a term of the settlement that each of these elector defendants will cooperate with other investigations ongoing now or in the future, and will do so fully and openly. They also agreed to cooperate fully with our ongoing litigation against the remaining defendants who we believe were co-conspirators in all of this. Your question is a good one, Dom, and that is, you know, what happens if an investigation is opened, or maybe one is ongoing, but if one becomes public here in Wisconsin? Obviously, we have a Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, and people cannot be compelled to give testimony against themselves. So there is in the settlement agreement something that says, well, if you become the target of an investigation, then you don't have to cooperate in that investigation. You know, that sets you free. But until and unless that happens, we expect their full cooperation in our case and in all ongoing criminal matters. And I will note, since you flagged it, we are seeing those criminal investigations sort of continue to spread across the country. After our settlement news broke in the morning this afternoon, the news broke that the fraudulent electors in Nevada have now been indicted.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin is now in the minority of states that had fraudulent electors this past election cycle, where there is not a publicly acknowledged or prosecution ongoing, or at least a criminal investigation. So I suppose we'll all see what happens.
Jeff Mandel, you are not a prosecutor. You were a successful plaintiff's civil litigant in this case. But if you were, do you think under Wisconsin law or perhaps federal law, with the evidence that you've now presented to the public, do you think there was criminality in this conspiracy, sir?
That's really hard for me to say, Creed. I've never been a criminal practitioner. I've never been a prosecutor. I've never been on the inside of making decisions like that and what goes into them. So it's really not for me to say. What I can say is that, you know, I trust the Wisconsin Department of Justice, and I trust the district attorney here in Dane County to make these decisions. And, you know, it is my understanding and has been, you know, we presented to them, even before we filed this civil case, we presented to them evidence of what we knew at that time. And I have every reason to expect continuing to follow the news and continuing to see what's out there, and that they're doing their jobs to the best of their ability.
Jeff, one of the civil litigants that settled with your firm and your plaintiffs, Bob Spindell, is a Wisconsin elections commissioner. Was it ever negotiated or considered in your negotiations that he should resign from that position? This looks a lot like a confession to us, Jeff, but not trying to put words in your mouth. Was that ever discussed with this particular litigant?
That wasn't part of this settlement. I certainly share your view that that what happened here, as I've said several times, is inimical with the fundamental principles of our democracy and with our functioning as a democracy. And I think it's deeply disappointing and disturbing that we have a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission that was engaged in such activity. I will note that even after it became clear that Mr. Spindell was one of the fraudulent electors and had engaged in this conduct, Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue reappointed him to the Elections Commission.
Jeff Mandel, hold tight. We want to talk more about the gerrymandering, the redistricting.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The big and tall of political talk, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you miss any of this fine program, go online to civicmedia.us. Click on the shows tab. You can find all the interviews and podcasts from the Devil's Advocates radio.
Dominic, we got the newsbreaker. He is Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. We appreciate the generosity of his time. He's sticking around. Not only has he successfully settled on behalf of his plaintiffs, a lawsuit against the fake Trump electors, and that will be an ongoing lawsuit against Cheesebro and Jim Troupas. But Jeff, your firm is intimately involved in the arguments behind the redistricting case, the gerrymandering case, the only way I know how to describe it, sir. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has heard oral arguments. Should we be waiting on pins and needles? Should we be expecting some sort of a ruling in the foreseeable future here, Jeff?
I think we should be expecting something fairly imminently. It's the holiday season. There's a lot going on. I wouldn't expect that something will be tomorrow or even next week. But I think that in the next several weeks, by sometime in mid-January at the latest, I expect that we're going to hear from the court. And I expect that we're going to hear good news, which is I expect the court is going to state that the maps that we currently have for our state legislature are unconstitutional. One of the reasons I expect that is that we had the oral argument shortly before Thanksgiving, and none of the defendants, none of the justices who expressed skepticism of the case, the more conservative justices, no one said the maps are constitutional. There were arguments that they didn't like the way the case was framed, or they didn't like the timing, or they didn't like this, or they didn't like that. But nobody really argued that the maps are constitutional, and it's because plainly they're not.
And Jeff, let's draw a distinction if we could. We have really three types of maps that could possibly be affected. We have the assembly maps. Three assembly districts make up a state Senate district in the state of Wisconsin. That is the Wisconsin legislative maps. And then we also have congressional maps. This current litigation is really about the legislative maps, if I understand correctly, Jeff, and the congressional maps would be unaffected?
That's correct. So this is about the assembly and the state Senate maps that make up our legislature and are governed by our state constitution and the requirements that are in that. The congressional maps are slightly different because they also, you know, those are maps for the 8 members that Wisconsin sends to the United States House of Representatives. And so those are governed by federal law as well. And this is a case that's about state law.
Jeff, here becomes the question. If I understood the oral arguments and seemingly the quandary of some of the justices that might be willing to overturn the existing maps, the question becomes, who draws them? And do state senators that won re-election 2 years ago have to face re-election again? Apparently, even Justice Protasiewicz took some acknowledgement that that might strike some as a harsh remedy. So what is, you know, if you had to read the tea leaves with us, Jeff, what is the ideal scenario from your point of view? Would it be a recasting of all 33 of the Senate districts, all 99 of the assembly districts? Is everybody got to be on the ballot next year?
Well, let's be clear that every time we have an even numbered year in Wisconsin, all 99 members of the assembly are up for election. So that's just a given. And half of the Senate is up for election in any given year. So in any given even numbered year. So regardless of what happens with the maps, there are 115 members of the legislature who are up for election next year. The question is whether what we have asked for, what our clients have asked for in this case, is that the additional 17 senators also be up for re-election. I don't think that's particularly extreme. We're not talking about hundreds of extra elections or anything like that. And why is it that we think that that should happen? It's because the maps have been so extremely gerrymandered. We have the most extreme partisan gerrymander in the United States here in Wisconsin, and we've had it now for a dozen years. And it denies the people of Wisconsin fundamental democracy. It denies our democracy the feedback mechanisms that are supposed to make it work, where what the people want and their opinions matter to their representatives and therefore get reflected in policy. We don't have that because the maps that we've had for the last 12 years are about the elected officials choosing their voters in such a way that the voters have no meaningful way to choose or affect their elected officials. Because of that, because that extreme gerrymander has distorted Wisconsin's politics for so long, we believe it shouldn't be allowed to persist one day more. And to make sure that that's true, we think that once there are new maps that are fair and accord with the Constitution, that all members of the legislature should have to run for election under those maps as soon as possible. Because to allow half the Senate to remain in office for another 2 years under that gerrymander is to mean that the Senate still won't have another 2 years where the Senate is not, half of the Senate at the very least, is not accountable to voters. And that can't be allowed.
Jeff Mandel from Law Forward for just a few more minutes. Jeff, what was the philosophy behind the original jurisdiction going directly to the Wisconsin Supreme Court versus some other courts? I'm glad you did. I'm glad they heard it. But what was your thought there?
Yeah, I mean, the thought, Dom, is just that this case is so crucial. As I said just a moment ago, we've lived in Wisconsin under the gerrymandered maps for a dozen years, and every single day that they continue to be in effect is an affront to democracy and to the voters of Wisconsin. And the only way to move this case quickly enough to get relief in time for the 2024 election was to go straight to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I know that's become something that has become, it's become almost common in the last few years. We saw so much of it since Governor Evers took office. The legislature and conservative interest groups have just repeatedly run to the Wisconsin Supreme Court because they believed it would do its bidding. This is the first time that I've ever filed or been directly involved in filing an original action. And we've got other cases that we think are incredibly important, but we have not filed those original actions because we think moving through the court system in an orderly way has real value and importance. But here, in this one instance, the only way to ensure that we have new maps in time for the 2024 elections was to go straight to the Supreme Court. And so we did.
And Jeff, if the Wisconsin Supreme Court comes back in your favor, in our favor, new maps to be drawn, is that the end of it for here in the state of Wisconsin? Or is there another step? The U.S. Supreme Court, something else could happen?
Well, there's another step in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is that I expect that relatively soon we will get a ruling that the maps are unconstitutional, but then we're going to need to create new maps. And so that's another step in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I do not expect that we will have another court, the U.S. Supreme Court, weighing in here. Because as I said earlier, these are purely questions of what the Wisconsin Constitution means. And when we talk about the Wisconsin Constitution, it is the Wisconsin Supreme Court that gets the final word. When we talk about questions of federal law or the United States Constitution, the U.S. Supreme Court gets the final word. But here we're talking about the state constitution, and the state Supreme Court is the end of the road.
Okay, we've got 1 minute left, Jeff. Final question. Let's assume new maps coming, new maps drawn. Republicans, of course, are not going to like the new maps. They appeal. Does that delay it, drag it out beyond the time frame that would allow for the recasting?
I don't think it should. There's always that possibility, and nobody can stop them from going to the U.S. Supreme Court and asking them to take the case. No one can stop them from asking the Supreme Court to hold the maps off while they consider taking the case. I don't expect that either of those things will work. I think that we're going to have new maps in Wisconsin for 2024.
Well, let's put while we're ahead. Jeff Mandel, Law Forward, thank you so much for joining us on a very busy day. Jeff, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Folks, more Devils. Phone lines, they're open. Toll free for you, 844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. In the final Republican presidential debate, before the Iowa caucuses, the gloves came all the way off. Chris Christie took on Vivek Ramaswamy.
The fourth debate that you would be voted in the first 20 minutes as the most obnoxious blowhard in America.
Ramaswamy focused on a Christie scandal.
Chris, your version of foreign policy experience was closing a bridge from New Jersey to New York. Yeah.
Three people have been shot and killed on the campus of the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Las Vegas Police Sheriff Kevin McMahill.
Our hearts go out to the entire UNLV community. No student should have to fear pursuing their dreams on the college campus.
The shooter has been killed. Senator Ron Wyden says the U.S. and foreign governments have been using push notifications from Apple and Google to surveil people. CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur.
Apps and services that touted how they were encrypted and thus seemingly protected from surveillance may not be after all.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's fake Republican electors are admitting Joe Biden won the presidency in 2020. It's part of a civil lawsuit settlement announced Wednesday. The fake electors also agree not to serve on the Electoral College in 2024. It's the first time any fake electors from anywhere in the country are admitting to wrongdoing. Governor Evers signed 48 bills into law on Wednesday. Included in those bills are a slate of changes to voting ahead of next year's election. One of those bills changes the deadlines for clerks to send out absentee ballots. Another would require clerks to retain video footage of election night proceedings for 22 months. Evers also vetoed several election-related bills, including one that would change who could be declared indefinitely confined and another that would have lowered the cost of registered voting lists. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows around 32 overnight under partly cloudy skies. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, high of 46. Tomorrow night, lows around 38. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the breaking news Wednesday, happy hour, rolling through it. Time to shout at the Devils. Dial them up, 844-967-2789. You know, you can also text us during the course of this fine program. We get them. We read them. Sometimes we read them aloud on the air. Here's one. This one I find important. You know, Dom is Crudy's emergency food. Let's be real. He's a masochist. And in a purge scenario, sadly, no Diet Mountain Dew. He needs to eat Dom to get that fiery gut acid. You're right on with that assessment, Cam, from Nina. There was a question asked here. Who spent the 4th of July 2018 in Moscow?
I'll say Senator Ron Johnson.
U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, yes. Who... in tandem with Mike Lee and other of their ilk, blocked a resolution today that would have funded, or a financial, I don't know what it's called. It was in the Senate, and there were $100+ billion in aid, Ukraine and Israel, and they killed it because Ron didn't get his
not
wall
enough for
on the
border,
southern
even
border.
Even though they haven't passed anything or agreed to anything on the border.
Here's another one. I'm going to have to clean this one up for radio. Jeff from Shorewood says, call the attorney general is a, and let's just say, rhymes with wussy.
Kitty cat.
He's a kitty cat. On Devils, could Andrew Hitt or others with a law license be disciplined? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Andrew Hitt is a practicing attorney in the state of Wisconsin. Hell, he's on the website of Michael Best and Friedrich, one of the biggest political law firms, Republican, in the state. He's like their senior political director, former Republican Party chairman of the state of Wisconsin. And now I realize this was a civil action. And we never really pressed Jeff Mandel on this, but they did not admit fault, as most civil actions do. But, I mean, this is a conspiracy. And, you know, Jeff might not be a prosecutor, but I play one on the radio occasionally. And I think this is a conspiracy, Dom. And many of the fine lawyers that do practice in the criminal field have shared our opinion.
Well, we have three other states, Georgia, Michigan, and as announced today, Nevada, are prosecuting their fraudulent conspiratorial electors.
But somehow they get off with a non-civil forfeiture, civil settlement.
Sorry, my bad, won't do so it again. Far. I don't even say they're sorry, right? But they just won't do it again. And they're going to retract and, you know, the documents.
Biden won.
Biden won. That's going to be tough for him to say, actually. You know what I mean?
No offense to our fine guest, Jeff Mandel, and his team over at Law Forward. Obviously, the civil litigation moves forward against Cheesebro and Jim Troupas. Yeah. And I think those were the ringleaders. So ultimately, if there's going to be some civil liability, some price to pay, I hope the right guys pay that price.
But could those guys have... I mean, they have, you know, criminal cases going on.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, so you can't admit any sort of guilt in a civil case. Wouldn't that screw your criminal case? You know what I mean?
It depends on... I would say Cheesebro has been very, very sort of... he's out there settling what he can.
Yeah.
He's cleaning up the record. He's already settled in the state of Georgia. My understanding is, he's already made overtures to the federals. And obviously... he's not going to sign off on some sort of financial settlement. He's not going to throw money on the table. They didn't offer him a settlement, I suspect, yet. Cheesebro. Because the truth coming out is really about exposing the plot, the ringleaders. And, you know, Andrew Hitt, yes, I think he should be put up ethically under the state bar, and he should have to answer for what I allege would be his crimes. But he's not convicted. And I suspect, or at least I fear, much like Donald Trump being put on ballots because he has not yet been convicted of insurrection and the 14th Amendment not yet kicking in per se, I think that Hitt would make some sort of similar plea before, you know, the Bar Association and say, well, I haven't been convicted of anything yet. And I'm a cooperating witness, apparently, reportedly, with Jack Smith. And I somehow talked my way out of testifying in the civil forfeiture case of the Devil's Advocates for entering a locked building the same week that the false Trump electors did at the Wisconsin State Capitol. You know, they tried to hold us more accountable than the false Trump electors.
Yeah, of course they did.
What, should we have brought an armed armada with us if we'd had the guy with pistolas? Would we have gotten less grief from the Christmas carol singing Republicans that tried to have us arrested that day? I'm looking at you, Shea Sortwell. I'm looking at you, Tim Rantham.
Rantham, Ram Jam.
Ram Jam.
I forgot about that dude.
He's your buddy. He ran for governor.
He had that
bright... on the strength of our near arrest.
He had that bright red sweater, man. He just could not stand the fact that we were there mocking their maskless Christmas caroling.
Before we get to the callers, and we appreciate your patience, callers, 844-967-2789. Little local, let's not forget, big GOP debate tonight for second.
Yeah.
Because the dictator-in-chief, he made his mark in Iowa last night. I'll
Sean
only
be
Hannity.
A dictator on day one.
That's what Trump said.
Yes.
And I would love to see a few of our conservative friends defend that dictator on day one sentiment. But here in the great state of Wisconsin, Dom, we have an endorsement alert.
Uh-oh.
prior to the big GOP debate tonight. Wisconsin Senate leader Devin LeMahieu backs Nikki Haley over Trump in the Republican primary.
Republican party's in disarray.
He must want his house egged. And I'm not suggesting we would do that. I'm just saying there are a few MAGAs that aren't going to like this choice, Dom. Atop Wisconsin Republican prefers former United Nations ambassador Nikki Haley in the 2024 Republican primary for president, calling her less polarizing than the former president, who's leading the polling race by double digits. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel he thinks Haley would be a nice contrast to Joe Biden. But, and again, I quote LeMahieu, but, you know, my endorsements haven't worked well in the past, so I'm not endorsing people. He joked about the previous statewide candidates he endorsed who did not win their races. It's up to the Republican voters to decide their primary. Both leaders of the Republican-controlled state legislature are not backing Trump. What, Robin Voss is not down for Trump? Just because he came to Waukesha and campaigned for his primary opponent, Adam Steen, endorsed Adam Steen, endorsed Janelle Branchon, and sicked Gableman on him? Somehow he's going to hold that against Trump?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Where's the loyalty?
Well, that's what Robin Voss would like to know. The personal loyalty to Voss. He is the boss, right?
Voss, 844-967-2789. Gary from Sussex, you are up. Welcome, Gary. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Gary.
Hey, guys. All right, I got two comments, okay? I called about this guy that you have on this lawyer.
Jeff Mandel from Law Forward.
Yes. I think that they I'm not a lawyer. I'm sure he's more intelligent in law than I am. I can fix a furnace. I bet you he can't. But when it comes to law, I believe that he's probably smarter than I am. But I tend to differ on a couple of different things that he said. One of the things is, first of all, the law, the Constitution, Wisconsin, says the party who is in power gets to write the boundaries.
That wasn't the question before the court, though. The questions before the court were about contiguous, which is in the Wisconsin Constitution. You can't break off parts of a district and have these floating parts, which we have lots of currently. And the other question is lease change maps. You remember the whole lease change? The Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled how to use the lease change maps. And whose maps were lease changed? Tony Evers. And in fact, the maps that we have utilized were vetoed by the governor of the state of Wisconsin. And we do have a separation of powers clause, which says effectively you can't utilize the same maps that the governor has vetoed. So those are the two pleadings before the court. The other one you made is not a question before the court currently, Gary.
Okay. But the point that I'm making is they drew the maps. The Republicans, whether they're fair or not.
Yeah, they're responsible for these gerrymandered pieces of you-know-what, Gary.
Okay. All right. So he's saying that he believes before the 2024 election, there's no way in hell that these maps are going to be changed before that.
Well, if you draw blocks and don't have to pick every house by house on every block, Gary, it makes it a lot more efficient. You'd be shocked how easy it is to draw a square district.
He also said, which I'm heckling. I'm sure you guys were heckling too. When he said, I think that everybody should be up for elections because, yeah, they do have a right for another couple of years. But I think to make it fair, we should have everybody all up for new elections.
That well, if you insane. Believe the legal arguments before the court that these maps are so egregious that they leave an unconstitutional, we don't have one man, one vote in the state of Wisconsin. If you believe they're so egregious, they must be recast. By that same logic, everyone must run for re-election, according to Jeff Mandel.
Well, this is insane, and you know that he's crazy. That will never happen.
I mean, come on. But Gary, I mean, what are you talking about? 115 or something along, already going to be up. Every single legislator in the assembly is going to be up, and half the senators.
We're talking 16 or 17 races across the state, more or less.
Additional races.
He wants
That's all, but here's what I'm saying. It's only 16 more. It's only
going to happen.
But Gary, it's only 16 more.
It doesn't matter.
Well, okay. So you're saying the time frame won't work out. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. Gary, do you think the maps are righteous? Do you think those are good maps? What do you think of the legal arguments against them?
I think they're excellent for Republicans. I really do. Well, I think that they're excellent for it. So yes, I'm very happy with the maps.
Oh, okay, would you want those maps drawn by Democrats to give Democrats? Do you want, if it was, you know, Illinois, for example, or some other, progressive or Democratic run state with such extreme gerrymandering? Would you then also say that's great for the Dems and I want to keep them that way?
Heck no.
Okay. Well, at least you're consistent, Gary. We appreciate it, man. 844-967.
Just looking for a little intellectual honesty around here.
2789. It's hard to come by sometimes. CJ, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Thank you guys for taking my call. You know, I get where you guys are coming from, but, you know, these things were passed without the legislature's approval.
What was passed?
And that is unconstitutional.
What was passed without the legislature's approval? I don't know what you're talking about, CJ.
Okay, the it's one thing to discuss our state electoral college and changing it like you are. I don't know how many votes or how many representatives it's going to increase for Milwaukee and Madison.
It doesn't change our electoral college.
Rural communities.
Okay, CJ, let me clarify a point. The Electoral College is based on how many federal officers we send to D.C. We have 8 congresspeople. Each one represents an elector. We have 2 senators. So the state of Wisconsin has 10 electors. With or without the redrawing of maps, we will continue to have 10 electors. Are we clear on that point, CJ?
I can hear you now.
We're going to continue to have 10 electors. The question is whether or not the state legislative maps are so egregiously gerrymandered that you don't get fair representation, I don't get fair representation. I mean, there's got to be some Republicans doing some stuff that you know is just jackassery, right? I mean, I would point you towards Tim Rantham and Janelle Branchon.
It's not just about that. It's the fact that things were done to allow this, and I'm talking about voting in the last couple of years. Yes, the map should be addressed, but I agree with that. But it's going to screw up the Electoral College, and remember, elections have consequences.
I appreciate that we have agreement on something, but again, sir, I don't mean to throw it in your face, but the recasting of state legislative maps have zero impact on the Electoral College math for the presidency of the United States. Zero.
We had 10 before, we'll have 10 after.
They're still cast as a state. One candidate wins the state of Wisconsin in the general election. Probably going to be Joe Biden, I would predict, but we'll see. But if Donald Trump wins, it's not like he's got to win 10 different districts in the state of Wisconsin. You might be thinking of a state like Nebraska, I believe. They break out their congressional districts and you could theoretically win an oddball delegate from the state of Nebraska, even though probably going as a red state, a blue delegate could be cast. But that doesn't happen here in the state of Wisconsin. CJ, all we would get is fair representation at the Capitol. Maybe. Come back. Your calls could be next. 844-967-2789.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
There's a candlelight out in the dark.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show. Our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789.
Dom, we've got a busy text line. People texting in with alacrity. Here's a few. Any of the people involved in the fake elector conspiracy with the settlement admission of guilt, they should lose any professional licenses, including law licenses. I concur. Even a barber's license, you should lose it all. It's all gone. All your professional credentials. Here's a few more. The maps are not, Mark from the SAC, we know this is his big one. The maps are not in compliance with the constitutional requirement. And you know he's serious here, boys, because he used all caps. The constitutional requirement of contiguous and compact. Gary, CJ, in all caps here, fellas. Read the Wisconsin Constitution. And then there's one from Kurt from Madison. Gary and CJ. Dumb and Dumber. Kurt. That's what Kurt said. I didn't say that about our fine listeners.
Right. That's right. We love our audience, all of them.
How far do the maps go down? Would county districts and local municipality districts have to change? Question mark. Well, you know, it's funny because the maps are actually supposed to be drawn after the municipalities establish their boundaries.
Yeah.
These are called the Tiger Maps. And we know from our prior research, Dom, in 2014, it took us like a year and a half to get all the information out of the former Government Accountability Board. But here in the state of Wisconsin, specifically the congressional maps, were unconstitutional.
Yes.
And how did we know that, Dom? It was right there in black and white in the GAB reports. And they said basically they had to go clean up the messes of these hubris Republicans that started with incorrect tiger maps, T-R-Y-G-E, something like that, tiger. They'd used the wrong maps. They hadn't waited for the municipality to actually accurately cast their boundaries. They wanted to get started with their unconstitutional gerrymandering.
It was quite an undertaking.
And they effectively left communities in the wrong districts. They had used incorrect topographical maps. So we knew that these maps were crap to start from. And I'm talking about the congressional maps.
Right.
And we never really saw that litigated properly. But, you know, these state maps, they're a joke. How do I know they're a joke? Because Robin Voss is still the Speaker of the Assembly.
844-967-2789. Wisco, Paul, you are up. Welcome, Paulie. What do you got?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. I happen to believe in democracy, and democracy means fair maps. And even when we get fair maps in this state, I do believe that Republicans will still control the Senate and the Assembly.
I think they would have a modest advantage because there are more rural districts, just geographically. I think the Republicans would still have a slight advantage. But, I mean, if they keep running the way they're running and Trump's the top of the ticket, man, this could be a blue tsunami. We could take the Senate and the Assembly back. But that would be a rarity. I still think, like you, Paul, the maps would still be slightly to the advantage of Republicans.
Well, what the Republicans did with these maps, they wanted a veto-proof majority where Tony wouldn't be able to veto anything. And that was the idea behind this. And it's not right. And if you look at these lines, a snake couldn't crawl down them. It's a sad situation. But, hey, I'm so happy that we're probably more than likely going to get fair maps before before the next election, because they'll finally have a say in something. The way it's rigged out here, you just have to, and it doesn't really do any good. I call my assemblyman and my state senator, but they just kind of like, yeah, but they don't have any fear. And that goes in some of the Democratic districts also. If you, no matter what you do, if you don't have any fear about losing your seat, that just isn't right. So CJ and the gentleman from Sussex need to get on board with Fair Maps. So, hey, you guys have a great day, and thanks for your show.
Yeah, well, thank you, Paul. Thanks.
You're welcome
calling,
for our show, Wisco Paul. Thanks for being a fan.
I think to their credit, I think if nothing else, CJ and Gary from Sussex recognize the maps.
Well, as
they're not proper.
Gary, as much as confessed, he likes the maps because they don't play fair for the advantage of his team.
Right.
And I did hear CJ acknowledge that he does think something should be done about the maps, but then had some other quandary with absentee ballots or something. Went down a rabbit hole.
Electoral
I wasn't following him down.
844-967-2789. Jack from the Mac, you are up. Welcome, Jack. What do you got?
Hey, Jack.
Yeah, guys like CJ and Gary, they need to be asked two questions before they even begin to start talking about this gerrymandering issue. First question is, do you believe, honestly believe that the election in 2020 was fair and legal? And the answer to that one will tell you whether or not they're in touch with reality. The second question that you have to answer them is, if the governor and the legislature can't agree on fair on the maps for redistricting, do you think that this should be handled by a nonpartisan group, or do you think one should be chosen over the other?
Well, they hear Robin Voss say, well, we get to pick the maps. We control the legislature by virtue of the rig maps.
Right?
You know, so there's no way they're going to concede the point, Jack. I don't believe, because, of course, their side's never going to concede an inch. There's no concession here. There was no concession even in the plaintiff's settlement with the false Trump electors here in the state of Wisconsin. Again, Jeff Mandel, a fine guest. If you missed the interview, please do yourself a favor and go find the podcast at the civicmedia.us. But no real confession. They may have laid out the facts in their settlement, but they didn't take any responsibility.
I won't do it again.
Biden won in 2020, I think.
I believe, Curdy, in the 30 years prior to the maps being redrawn to what we have today with under Walker and the Republicans, they were contested maps, and they were ultimately a court determined.
Courts drew the maps every 10 years because that was almost a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
Folks, this show, a foregone conclusion, but you're not going to want to leave yet. You got Maggie Dawn talking about sharp legal minds. She's got the sharpest. She's next, the Maggie Dawn Show. And then the Empowered Caregiver with Liza Hellenbrand. I know she's got a big show stacked as well. And we just had him on the other day, Pete Schwabe, doing the Nightlight. It's a new feature across the Civic Media Network. Starts 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time. Catch him. You know, check your local listings. And tomorrow, Dom, I won't have you here by my side, but we're still going to do the greatest radio show ever. That is our pledge to you each and every day. Best radio we can make. Promise.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Police in Waltham, Massachusetts, say an officer and a utility worker have died after a pickup truck crashed into a roadside work detail. CBS News Boston reporter Brandon Truitt is in Waltham.
The officer and one utility worker died from their injuries.
One of the parties who was in the accident took